Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. This morning, as we look at the lessons from the Old Testament, we see that this is one that we want to talk about, running on empty. Now, as we think about running on empty, I know that there are several things that happen there. One, I mean, many of us have a gas needle in our car. And how many of us will watch that gas needle when we're on a trip to get just as very close? If you're like me, I want to get from point A to point B. And I hate stopping at gas stations because if I pass all them tractor trailer trucks and I stop at a gas station, that means I got to pass them again, right? So we try to push that button, try to get there just the best that we can. Angie and I were out riding Saturday, and I filled up a motorcycle, and we took off, and we rode the parkway and everything. We come back down, went through Boone and all of that, got on the interstate to head back home, and I had my meter on that thing. I was trying to check it, see how many miles I'd done, and I looked down there, and all of a sudden that yellow light came on. I went down, and I hit my button, and it said I had 46 miles, and I'm thinking, why did that gas light come on? I've got 46 more miles to go. It should have waited until I got a little bit more. By the time I got home and got to the gas station, I think it was down to about 10 miles. So I really kind of pushed that thing. When I was younger, I used to really push it. I'd fill it up, and I'd see just how far I would get. And how many of us have run out of gas and had to push the car to the gas station or walk somewhere and get a container and fill it up enough to get it there? As we think about running on empty, we think about those types of things. But what about in our own lives? How many times have we gotten really excited about Jesus Christ? How many times have we gone to a seminar and really got excited and really got filled up, got on that mountaintop experience, so to speak? And then by the time we get home, your things started to, you know, some of that gas started to come out of it and all that. And within the next week, you're on empty again spiritually. Isn't that kind of the way we are from Sunday to Sunday? We're supposed to fill up on Sundays, and that gas is supposed to make us last until the following Sunday till we fill up again. But how many of us have filled out and run out of gas before? That's why we have Wednesday nights also. We come in here on Wednesday nights to do what? To get refueled once again. And so we need to see today that this is exactly what we need. And how do we go about when we run on empty? As we look in these scriptures here, we see that this lady in this story, her husband has died. The people that the bank collectors and all of those have come by, and they say, we need our money now. And they're going to take her two sons, and they're going to take them as servants, and they're going to become slaves, and that will be the payments that they would be making. And so she was talking to the prophet, and she says, what am I going to do? And he says, what do you want me to do? And she says, well, I'd like to keep my sons out of jail. I'd like to not have to put them into slavery. And so he says, well, go and just look around the house. What do you have in your house? And she says, I have nothing, nothing in my house. And he said, go ahead, look again. And she looks, and she says, all I have in my house is this little bottle of oil, which is not very much. And he says, go around to all the houses, all the neighborhood, and ask for all of the empty containers that you can find. And then take those empty containers, get everyone you can, take them to your home, shut the door, and take that one that you have oil in and pour it into the others. And she was able to do that. Now, scientists have not been able to figure that out. How can you take a bottle of oil in this one and fill up all the others? We know how that she did it. It was through God, because God can do all things. So as we think about that this morning, we go back and we look at this story. In verse 1, we say, your servant, my husband, is dead. He was a prophet. He worked. He was a preacher. He taught the Bible. He taught the scriptures. And now he had died, and she was left with nothing. Now, in the older days, most ministers were in this condition up until recently. Most churches had bought a home, fixed it up, put the minister in it, and when they left, they had nothing. They had no equity or anything. And so when ministers would retire or die, their families would have nothing because they lived in parsonages all their lives. And so we see that this is the same thing. The creditors were knocking on the door. And we see that poverty has the potential to enslave us. Now, there's not a person in here tonight that can say, I have been well off all my life. There's some point in time that you felt like everything came to an end, right? I got married in June. We got married on a Saturday. We left that Saturday from Boone, North Carolina, and traveled to Fort Worth, Texas. We were there on Tuesday. That was on the extent of our honeymoon, was driving from Boone to Texas. We got the apartment that they promised us at seminary. I got a job working on seminary on the campus part-time, and she had nothing. Finally, she found a job, but we found out that there were more bills than there were money coming in the house. And we began to see where we could pinch at and skip a meal here, skip a meal there, or whatever. And there were times in our lives that we couldn't figure out how we were going to pay the bills. But you know what? At the end of the month, all our bills were paid for. Did we have any extra money? No. Actually, if you did the mathematics, we probably didn't have enough money. But God provided a way for us. Explain it? I can't explain it. All I can say was there were more bills coming in than there was money coming in. But at the end of the month, those bills were met and paid for. And so when we see that it is, we know that everybody has faced that. And sometimes we talk about how poor we are, don't we? Well, I just don't have enough money. But if you look around, folks, there's always somebody in a worse situation than we're in, isn't it? When we had started this feeding kitchen and having it downstairs, working down there, meeting the men and women down there, it makes you feel much better to know I'm not in a bad situation. You think about your health. Well, I got aches and pains. I do too. But, you know, I could have those aches and pains in a hospital bed, couldn't I? I could have all these monitors hooked up to me and not expecting to live. I could have a breathing machine helping me breathe instead of breathing on my own. So when we look around, there is always somebody worse off than we are. But in poverty, we also see that it has the potential to drive people to different desperations. Some people have even done things like steal, go into a store and steal a loaf of bread to feed their families with. Now, most people in here don't remember the Great Depression. You've read about it. But I understand that if you were not part of it, you can't really understand that when your family is starving, you will do whatever it takes to get food. We've not had to do that. In this country, we're a very prosperous people. We have more food. We throw more food away than people in the rest of the world actually have, don't we? And I've heard people say, I don't eat leftovers. And they pitch it out. But you think about it. There are countries people are starving to death. And there are so many ways that we could help them out. Desperation will do two things. It'll either take and bring you to an area that you will regret later by stealing or something like that. Or you can take and put your hands in God and go to the right place. We see in this application here, this woman was at the end of her ropes, but in her desperation, she went to the person that could possibly help her, and that was the prophet, God's spokesman, and that's where she went. And secondly, we see, how can I help you? Tell me, what do I have in your house? And she said, nothing. She made a request. I have nothing. What is it? It wasn't a guessing game. It was simply, what do you have in your house? My wife had a car, an antique, and she loved it. But we also know in desperation that we couldn't keep that car, and we sold it. Today, we still had that car. It would be worth 10 times what we sold it for. But there was just no way we could do it. There was no need for that car at the time. You couldn't drive it as a vehicle to be used. And so we had to find out. We must be able to show that we have a need when we go to God. How many of us have prayed, God, give us more money. Make sure I have enough money for my house payment or my car payment. Make sure I can pay my credit card bill off. How many of us have needs that we think are needs that are really not those types of needs? Where are the spiritual needs that we ask? When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? When's the last time you asked God to let you be available to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone? So as we think about the physical need, let's think about the spiritual need. We are out of gas. We look around and on our jobs, at school, and all of the peer pressures that we have is what? Not to support God, but to turn from God. As we look, we see that today's society is not looking towards God for answers. They're looking everywhere else, and they expect us to do the same thing. But when we look at this story, we can see that it says in James, he says, you ask with wrong motives. And in James 4:2, he says right above that, you do not have because you do not ask. When's the last time we've asked God for something? When's the last time we prayed for this service that God would touch us and move us and a breakout, a spiritual breakout would happen? How many of us expect something? How many expect somebody to get saved this morning? How many expect someone to come forward and say, God's called me into the ministry? How many of us really expect something to happen this morning? Let's put it one more step. How many of us expect God to do something within our own selves this morning? I'm going to walk out of here a changed person. How many of us really expect that? You ask not because you have not because you ask not. And we ask for the wrong motives, don't we? I'm guilty of that. I used to be a give me person. God, give me this. God, give me that. Right? Didn't think it was selfish. God helped me to be a better speaker. God helped me to read the scriptures and understand it. Helped me to write down the things I need to write down so I could speak it. Help me to have the wisdom to counsel. You notice what it was? God, give me. My prayers existed for me, not for those around me, not for those in my congregation, not those in this community, not those that are lost, not God's will. In Jesus, it wasn't give me, God, but it was what? Your will be done, Father. How many of us pray for God's will in our lives instead of the gimme things? God does not create something out of nothing. He's already done that. In the very beginning of time, He created us. And now He has us. So He doesn't have to create something out of nothing. He already has us here. Every miracle received, every blessing attained comes through something that we bring. You remember Jesus with the loaves of bread and the fishes? He didn't create those out of nothing. They were already there. The little boy brought it with his lunch. Remember the miracle of the fish? They fished all night and couldn't catch anything, and Jesus said, drop your net on the other side. It didn't make sense to them, but they did it. And what happened? The nets almost broke. They had to have help with a second boat to bring it in, and even their nets almost broke. There were so many fish. God expects you to bring something that demonstrates your faith. We come to Jesus Christ. We come to Him. We expect Him to do it, but do we really have the faith in Him? Do we have faith this morning that God can use you? Each one of us in this room this morning. If God can use each one of us in this room this morning, what difference will it make out here in this world? What difference would it make? We will not change the world in mass production. Billy Graham was one of the greatest evangelists that ever was. And people heard the word of God. People were under conviction. People accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But then when he left to go to another place, what happened to all those people? Churches didn't come out and pick those people up. They didn't continue to nurture them and help them to grow. And they began to fall by the wayside. We're not going to win it by mass evangelism, but we will win it one-on-one, won't it? You bring your neighbor, you bring your friend, your schoolmate, your workmate, and let them bring someone, and we do it one-on-one. And when we do that, we will see that things will happen. God will use perceived nothingness to bring great things. The least little thing that you can do for someone. When's the last time you smiled at someone? and spoke to them, and that's what they needed. When was the last time you just even opened a door for someone? Or they dropped something and their hands are full? The least little thing that you do could imagine be the biggest thing that that person needed that day. God will use us. Emptiness can be a gift from God. You know, it takes us sometimes to get down to nothing to look at God, doesn't it? When we're down and out, that is when we really get to talking to God. We get to singing to God. We get to talking to God. But when things are going great, do we need God? Look what I've done. I've gotten my raise. I've gotten a better position in my job. Yeah, it's taking me away from home more. Yeah, I'm having to do this or that. But look at what I've done. But did you do it? Or did God do it for you? When I read, I see that God does all things. There's nothing that I can do that God can't do. Therefore, I see that anything that He's done in my life with someone else is done through God. We see blind Bartimaeus, the woman at the well. They all came for something. And the application here is there are times when God may have to bring us to a place of emptiness so that He can fill us up again. Maybe you're at that point today. Maybe you're at that point right now. Maybe you're down and out and you just are at wit's ends dealing with those situations. Can you imagine? Even though you know the person, you dated the person, marrying that person, living with that person, moving hours away from sets of parents. When we got down to Texas, we knew about nobody. Nobody. My parents were 25 hours away. Hers were 19 hours away. So guess what that meant? My best friend became my wife. Her best friend became me. We had to learn to get along with each other because we had nobody else at the time. Now, granted, we made friends once we got down there, but can you imagine getting married, moving across the Mississippi River into foreign lands, and have nobody but each other and God? 31 years ago. And you know what? She's still my best friend. And God is still in that marriage. We have met some unbelievable people in our lifetimes. We have met some great Christians. We have met some scum of the earth that have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we have seen God do great things. And then fourthly, Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. You're not alone. One of my best friends who passed along was one that people had prayed for years. Everybody had shared the gospel with him. Everybody he'd witnessed. His best friend even prayed for him, shared the gospel with him, tried to get him to pray the sinner's prayer for over 20 years, and Jimmy wouldn't do it. I felt a need one night. I felt God speaking to me. You need to go talk to Jimmy. So I went down there, went to the house. We were like family. We were invited to all their family picnics and everything. And I sat down and I shared the gospel with Jimmy. I got to that prayer and I said, Jimmy, any reason you can't pray that prayer tonight? Can't do it. And I said, do what? Can't do it. I said, after what we have just looked at, after what we just talked about, you can't pray that prayer tonight. Can't do it. And I said, why? Can't do it. I went away that night thinking, God, you gave me a burden, and I went and did it. And I expected him to make that decision, and he didn't do it. I learned something that night. God doesn't promise us the answers we want. He just wants us to be available to go. I was willing to go under the impression that he was going to accept Jesus Christ that night. I wasn't going thinking that he would not. What did that show? I was going, yes, because God did it, and He called me to go, but I also was going because I had been certified. I had gone through evangelism classes, and I had these little certificates that said I was a qualified evangelist, that I could share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I shared it, who was going to turn me down? I was doing it for me. And God showed me that it wasn't me, it was Him. Now, the end of that story was I finally decided to give up like everybody else did. Maybe this is one person God can't save. Around Easter time, they asked Jimmy to be in the play. They asked him to be a Roman soldier, which I thought was fitting. But they had practice that night after church on Wednesday night, and I went into my office, and Jimmy came in there, and he looked at me, and he says, "Now's the time." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Now's the time. I want to pray that prayer right now." Can you imagine that? God laid it on my heart to go, and I did it, and He didn't do it. And then when I least expected Him to do it was the time He did it. His best friend that had been grown up with him had surgery. And when he found out that Jimmy was going to be baptized, he told his doctor, he says, "You release me out of the hospital so I can go to this baptism." Doctor says, "You're not going to be able." He says, "Yes, I am going to be able." His best friend was there. And the doctors couldn't believe how well he did after the surgery. But you know, God was in it not just for me, not just for Jimmy, but for a lot of people. To let us know that when we think there's nothingness there, there is always something there if we will ask. When the woman started pouring, she found that she had more than enough. She kept pouring and pouring and pouring, and she kept having jars and jars. And I would assume that whole house, that whole one room was just full of full jars that had been emptied at one time. This woman started out with just a little bit of oil. Commentators have said the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then you have more than enough. You can have more than a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. You can have more than just a drink of water. You can have everlasting water that God will give you. God wants to start blessing someone, each and every one of us. And one of the things that I like to do on Wednesday nights is begin sharing who has a blessing they want to share. And when I first started doing that here at this church, it was kind of like schoolroom, classroom. Everybody dropped their head, "Hope he doesn't call on me." And I'm not calling on anybody. If you've got a blessing, I want you to share it. Wednesday night, we spent as much time with praises as we did in prayer request. Isn't that great? To know now that people can begin to see there are blessings. So if you could take time each day, each night before you go to bed, can you look back and reflect on that and say, "God, how did you bless me today?" And let Him begin to show you the blessings that He's given you each day. And when you can begin to see that, you'll never run on empty again. Your cup will always be full. "My cup runneth over." In Psalms 23, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Folks, this morning, if you're right with Jesus, if you're putting your all to Him, your cup will run over, and you will never run on empty again. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this day that You've given us and this opportunity to hear Your words. And as we see in this story about this lady, Father, and how she had nothing, and You took that nothing and turned it into a place where she could pay her bills and not have to sell her sons off. Father, we see that if You can do that,
you can work miracles in each one of our lives today. And we can run on a full tank each and every day of our lives and never run on empty. Father, thank you for your love, your care, your concern, and your willingness to bless us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.